how each and every one of you believe by the fruit of your lives, and I've seen it and I've heard it out of your mouth. If I had to call and title what I'm speaking about this morning, I'll call it Speak the Word of Faith. As I've testified before, there's been times in my life since I've been born again, going on a little over 10 years now, that in my head, I thought I was trusting God completely, but in my heart, I wasn't. April, bless her heart, put up with me, and she would quote scripture to me and talk to me. And Brother Scotty, bless his heart, and Sister Teresa, bless her heart, would preach and teach to me all of what the Word says. But eventually, my thick head softened up, and my heart started receiving what the Lord was telling me. And I started seeing the changes in my life concerning my faith. You not only have to have faith, you have to learn how to use it. You have to know what it is. And it's not any one thing you can actually put your finger on. But when you know you got it, you got it. It ain't like a $100 bill. It's much more precious than that. It's something God give us, and as I realized it in my life, that once it is activated and you know it, the only way you can deactivate it is not use it and not do it. When it gets in your heart and it gets settled, that's it. Only thing left then is the distance of the time from when you believe until it's manifested. That's God's timing. And it works every time. Sometimes it's not our timing. There's a lot of people today that's going through a lot of great personal storms in their life. Maybe their marriages are falling apart. Maybe their lives are falling apart. Maybe it's problems at work. Maybe it's finances. For me, my problem was when it came to finances, when it came right down to it, right down to the wire, excuse me, I seemed to lack a little bit. I would believe and profess that I believe, but in my heart I didn't fully believe. And until that happened, things didn't seem to manifest quite so much. It's my fault. Because you have to speak. You not only have to believe, it's good to believe, it's good to have it in your heart, but there's times you have to speak. There's a lot of people in this country today that's concerned about the things that I used to take for granted, a lot of us did in times past. It mentioned in our governmental documents is the pursuit of life, peace, and happiness. They're worried about how the country's going to go. And at times right now, it's headed in completely the wrong direction. And we're praying and believing and knowing that God will turn that around as He turns things around in our lives every day. From God's Word, we can have the experience of a new beginning or renewing a victorious life. Anybody can have it. The lost can have it whenever they come to Jesus and they speak. What did it say in Romans 10:9? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart. Confess means to speak. Now, I don't know about you guys. I used to like to read a lot. I still read some. But I can read pretty fast. I can actually, in my mind, if I don't speak the words, I can read faster than I can talk, which is no surprise. I don't talk real fast. I'm a hick. Proud of it. I am what the Lord made me. But I can actually read faster in my mind. But the problem is, when I get to reading faster in my mind, sometimes I look back and say, what did I just read? But if I move my mouth and mouth the words, guess what happened? I don't have to go back and read that part again because I didn't just like zoom. Yeah, okay, what was that? No, I said it. The same way it is the same way for our faith. We can have the faith to move a mountain and God can see it. And I'm going to show you some scripture that we all know, but I'm going to talk about me this morning. Talk about my failings and short givings. But if you speak these things that God gives us in His words, you can have a better life. You can have a better marriage. You can have better finances. I've experienced it. We all have testimony of it. But if there's somebody out there that hears my voice this morning that's not in this congregation, I hope it helps them. I know if they take it in their heart and they listen to it, it'll help them. All of these things that we want, lost or born again, but born again people should know. All of these things that we want, we can have by the spoken word of faith. And what exactly is that? Well, I'm not going to try to go into a great big definition, but I'm going to use some scripture. But to just put it in a few words, it's a powerful, divinely inspired, empowered proclamation. What does that mean? That means that you open your mouth and you say something, and you're backed up by the Word of God according to your faith in your heart. Now, I used to be bad about, I would say the opposite. Like when I cut my arm, I almost did it again. And me up here is testifying that the Lord has strengthened me. I've increased. I'm doing better. And I seen I was going to be out of work for a few days. And it nearly came out of my mouth of a complaint, of a, you know, negative response. And April looked at me and she said, "Nope." And I said, "No, ma'am." I said, "God will provide in Jesus' name." She said, "Amen." And He did. I was out of work 7 days. No, 10 days, wasn't it? And just like I ain't been out of work financially. I mean, all I did was, when I looked at that situation, I spoke. I said, "Lord, I've had this problem for years. I'm working on taking it completely away from me. Help me to go to the next step." I said, "I will not worry. I will not doubt. And I will look to You as my source and my only source." Well, to make a long story short, my next check I got, I shouldn't have got nothing. But I got a little bit of money. And I thought, well, you know, I started to go back. Well, that ain't enough. But our God is good. It says in Psalms 36:5, our God's faithfulness reaches to the clouds. What does that mean? It has no ends. So I went back to work. And the next check I got was a pretty good-sized check. And I'd already talked to my boss about it. And he said, "Well," and I didn't even realize. He said, "Have you got accident insurance?" I said, "I don't know." Well, I got to look, and I do. I have it taken out every week out of my check. Praise God, I got another check. Now, 10 years ago, I was to the point to where I had lost nearly everything I had except my family. All the material possessions, we were barely getting by. We're barely paying the light bill and had groceries. Got 4 little kids to raise. Well, pretty small. And I'm struggling. You know, I'm in the back seat now. I'm not in the front seat. I'm saying, "Lord, what is going on?" I praise God that at least I hung on and came to church through all of that. Now, I'm not praising me, I'm praising God, because it's not that I wanted to quit church, but I was telling Brother Johnny, and I thank Brother Scotty yesterday, I've always said before, and it's made me wonder in my head, why does man wait till he has nothing else to turn to God? There's a good reason for that. I asked the Lord about it. And the Lord just simply said, because if He ain't got nothing else, He knows it's me. Whenever you get down to where there ain't nothing else can help your marriage, your situation, your trial, whatever it is you're going through, and you exhaust everything you know how to do, because that's what man does, born again, lost. Some born again people will not choose God to begin with, as I didn't in the beginning. But whenever you know that there's nothing else you can do and you fully and totally give yourself to God, when it comes through, guess what? It was totally and fully the God of Abraham, Lord God Jehovah Jireh, Lord God El Shaddai, our God, one that loves us, that created us. And I praise Him. I can't stop praising Him. Every time I wake up in the morning, I say, "Lord, thank You so much for all that I have." Every time I take a bite of food, I get almost to tears on the inside because I praised my God. I've seen times in my life I was hungry. I've seen times in my life that I didn't know where the next meal was going to come from. Not a lot, but enough. I mean, it don't take, you know, too many, you miss too many meals, you get to wondering when you're going to get to eat again. When you ain't got no money, you ain't got nowhere to go to get any money or to get any food. But what happened to me was, is I made that proclamation. I opened my mouth. Now, it's not a magical formula. It is not a fix-all quick thing. You say, well, if I say the words, it'll happen. No, you've got to have something to back it up. You've got to have it in here. And when you speak, what's in here, God sees it, God hears it, God knows. What did he tell Abraham? Now I know that you will not choose anyone over me, whenever he told him of offering Isaac. I know that you love me with all that you have. Paraphrase. Whenever God sees that, and then you speak the word, Abraham spoke the word, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, I'll have to go back. Whenever he told his servants, he looked up and he seen the place God was told him to make the sacrifice of Isaac. He said, y'all stay here, and me and the boys are going to go yonder, and we're going to worship, and we will return. He spoke the word of faith, because God had told him earlier that Isaac was his seed of promise. All the promises that God gave Abraham was coming through Isaac. So if Isaac is not going to be around, how's God going to back up his promises? Abraham didn't even ask him. Abraham just believed. That's the reason it's counted, the Bible says it's accounted, imputed to him for righteousness. In other words, he had an account in heaven, and God said, okay, he believes me. Put that in his account. Because Abraham knew that something else was going to have to happen beside Isaac dying and never coming back. Something else is going to have to be provided, or even God raised Isaac from the dead. Whatever it took. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. To get over here where I can see this. And it says, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and making it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing thereunto I sent it. Now, Isaiah is speaking these things, and he's telling us, as surely as God sends rain to the seed that he's furnished, and it's going to produce a crop, your words is going to produce something. God's talking about his word, but he's also talking about our word. Whenever you get wrapped up in God's word and you start seeing the things that work, and it's not a trick, like I said before, and it's not a formula, and it's not anything magical, it is supernatural, it will work. All you have to do is a couple of certain things. You have to believe, and you have to speak. So to paraphrase, you could just say, so surely shall the spoken word of faith bring forth that which has been sent out. Now, that's not saying you can sit in your living room while you're flipping through the TV channels and say, Lord, I want a new car. You have to be in the will of the Lord. You have to be in the will of the Lord's word. Now, I ain't saying it can't happen. If God says, believe me for a new car, believe him for a new car. Because it says plainly there, my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. My word is God's word. It's what those words mean. So the first thing we have to do is get God's word settled. So what does God's word say? Well, there's a lot of scriptures. Jesus said, that God knows, I forgot exactly where it's at in the Bible, but it's a whole chapter. That God knows that we have need of things. We need food. We need a shelter. We need things. Even in this technology, I can't know what word to say, time that we live in, God knows we need things. We need a house. We need food. We need a way to go. We need a job. Now, I believe God for all of that. But God knows what we need. What does God's Word say about our needs? And this is scripture I didn't give you, Travis. I'm sorry. Philippians 4:13 says, "My God," maybe it's 4:19, I get confused, shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory." Jesus said, "Your heavenly Father knows that you're in need of these things, and He shall provide them." So, to speak the word of faith to that, you say, "Lord, I know you know what I need, and I'm going to trust you and leave it in your hands. And God will provide." That's exactly what happened to me. Now, on the other side of that, people may say, "Well, God knows what I need, so I shouldn't have to ask Him." Not so. God knows what you need. He says He will provide it. Now, the parents and at least the grown children in here, I asked Blake this morning on the way over here, I said, "Do you know?" I said, I want to ask you a question. I said, "I'm not really fishing you for an answer, but answer me honestly," and he does. I said, how does it make you feel to know that we believe in you?" I said, "Do you believe in us that, you know, we'll take care of you?" "Yeah." The same thing holds with us and God. God wants to hear, and He wants to know that feeling that we believe that He's going to take care of us. He also wants to be and hear and feel and see us speak the word of faith for the things that we shall petition, ask of Him. It may be a mighty mountain. It may be a want. Most of the time in my life, it's a mountain. It's a trial. And I believe God for other things. And I said, "Lord, this is something I want. If it's in my life, in your will, I'm believing you for it." But I also have things that jump up, like, you know, this cut on the arm wasn't the first thing. I had something happen here a while back. It was a financial trial. I had to go through that. I kind of skipped a little bit, but I still spoke the word, and I believe God, and God got us through it, like He does every single time. So now I see, and I know, the only thing that has to happen is I have to know God's word, trust in God and His word, speak the word of faith that I trust Him to deliver me or supply, and believe. All the people that Jesus healed, almost all of them in the New Testament, and a lot of them, He told them, "According to thy faith." So you know what happened to the ones that got healed? They believed. A lot of people say, "Well, I asked God for this and this didn't happen." Well, there could be some things going on that nobody knows about. But you cannot blame God if you're believing God for something. It don't happen when we want it to. God has His own timeline. Let's say, for instance, "Lord, I want this." I'm not even going to say anything. "Lord, I want this, X. I'm believing you for it." And I feel in my heart God's going to give it to me. 10 years later, "Brother Scott and Sister Teresa, your house." For whatever reason, I don't know what it is, God had y'all wait 10 years to get your house. Abraham waited a long time to get a son. But you know what happened? I see it in their lives. It's almost a parallel to Abraham. What'd they do? They kept believing. They didn't give up. They trusted God. Now, I ain't saying God made them do that to prove a point. But whenever God supplied what they were believing Him for, He supplied mightily. He's done that in our lives. And I can't do anything except, "Thank you, Lord." I mean, I catch myself all the time just saying, "Thank you, Lord," for everything. My breath, everything. I mean, sometimes I get carried away and just, you know, say everything. Yes, ma'am. I understand. All this, but he only has a $35,000 limit where his faith level is.
Okay.
But during that 10 years, it came up, and when our house Amen. Amen.
Sometimes it's we're having, God's having to wait on us to get in the process, because he's not going to rip people off.
That's right.
Our faith level has to come up where we can believe God for the highest.
Amen.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's all right.
Just to bring a little understanding, sometimes, you know, we're not waiting on God. We have to grow and develop.
Right. Well, that's like I was saying, I didn't know exactly what it was, but God knows. My point being, and you're proving it, God knows what has to happen. So when he gives it to you, you're ready for it. It's just like, you know, I've heard a lot of preachers say it, a born-again Christian is like, you know, you can't give a two-year-old a shotgun. They'll hurt themselves. And sometimes with the word, a baby born-again Christian will, you know, they're real impulsive. I know I was, and Lord, I grew up in church. And, you know, I still had problems. But just like Sister Teresa said, I had to get to a level to where whenever I believed something, I had to believe God for it. Not me, not what I could do, not what I could get from anybody else. I had to believe God and believe God was going to produce what I had faith in him to do. And not just me believing it, me saying it. Now, to go backwards just a little bit, will you put the Genesis 22:5 up there, Travis? This is where Abraham said his proclamation. And Abraham said unto his young man, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and an eye, and they both then went together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham. This is not quite the one I want, but it is still to my point. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, Isaac said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So both of them went together. This was right after he told the people that they would return. That the reason I wanted to go back to this is because the word, the spoken word, Abraham said, we will return. Isaac said, hey, Daddy, we're fixing to go worship the Lord. Now, you can tell by these scriptures, this ain't the first time Abraham's worshiped the Lord with an offering. Because Isaac knew what was going to happen. A lot of people, I don't get hung up on it. A lot of people get hung up on the age of Isaac when it happened. That's not even really relevant to me for my purpose. But Isaac asked and said, hey, Daddy, we got everything we need to worship the Lord but an offering, you know, the lamb. Abraham didn't say, you're going to be the lamb, son. Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb for the offering. Abraham spoke the word of faith. You might say, well, how does that prove that? Because whenever it's all said and done, guess what? Whenever Abraham went, he put Isaac on the altar, and he went to sacrifice him. And right before he did, the angel of the Lord, being the Lord, said, stop. I now know that you love me, that you put me first. I'm going to paraphrase there a little bit. And Abraham looked up, and guess what? Over here, tied up in some bushes and weeds, is a ram, a lamb, for the offering. Now, I don't know what would have happened if Abraham hadn't believed. I don't know what would have happened if Abraham had failed to believe and to do what he did. We're not even going to go there. He did. Like Brother Scotty says, people say, well, what if it don't happen? Brother Scotty said, what if it does? This is what you concentrate on. You believe the word of God, you speak the word of faith, and you don't say, what if it don't happen? Because you just canceled out everything you just did before that I said. I've been there, I've done it. And it's not good. God created the earth by the spoken word of faith. Sister Teresa has taught us this. He said, let there be light. And there was light. And there is still light today at 135,000 miles per second. That's what man measures the speed of light. It's just a number. It doesn't matter to me how fast light is. But That's what man says the speed of it is. But whatever it is, it still exists today just like it did the first time God said it. Jesus said, have the faith of God, when he was talking to the disciples. God's got the faith that when I speak my word, it's going to go out and do what I intend for it to do. It's not going to fail. That's what Isaiah 55, 10, 11. We ought to hang on to that. Or I ought to. I'm going to talk about me. All of us should. And I'm going to hang on to that. I'm going to remember that scripture. I know it by heart, nearly. But I'm going to put it foremost in my mind whenever that mountain starts coming back up again. Or that trial starts coming up. Or the devil throws something at me and says, what if? And I'm going to say, no, boy. God said this. There's not going to be no what if. It's going to happen. And I'm going to stick to it. And when it happens, I'm going to praise God for it. Now, God's created everything that he created in this earth by the spoken word of faith. Light, animals, plants, earth, seas, man. Everything was spoken by the word of faith. And you know why? Because when God got done, he looked at it and said, all that he had done, he saw that it was good. That means it succeeded. There was no unsuccessful events happened. God gives us the authority through Christ Jesus to have this same kind of anointed representative to speak the word of faith and cause the supernatural to come into this natural earth. When Jesus prayed and told the disciples, he said, pray in this manner, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In whereat? On earth as it is in heaven. You know what that means? That means that's the way we ought to pray. That don't mean we need to recite those words verbatim. It means word for word. That means we pray to the Father and believe, Lord, this is what your word says. I believe your word. I speak the word of faith. Here I am, and I expect you to send the supernatural from heaven and cause it to happen on earth. And when God sees it, and you do, just like Abraham did and countless other people, Moses was one. Many, many people. I ain't got time to go into all of that today. We're in the men's meeting. We're in Hebrews chapter 11. I've read that chapter and read that chapter and read that chapter and read that chapter. But I've never got what the Lord has given me in the past few months out of that chapter. The last meeting we had was three little verses. And God, praise his precious holy name. I asked God whenever things started getting real bad, because you know what happens when you don't believe God? The what ifs start getting bigger. And they become giant capital letters. Well, if you don't say what if and it becomes true, if you say what if, guess what? It becomes true. And I can prove that with God's word. Travis, you put Proverbs 18:21 up there, please. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We've heard that verse. I've heard that verse for 10 years here. I've known of that verse off and on all my life. That verse now, in the past few years, has become a motto in my life. Because I realize what happens, as April has tried to beat in my head, when you speak the negative, what if? Or I don't know. Or it don't look good. Or I just can't understand. Strike them words out of our mouth. That's what I ask God, Lord, strike those words out of my mouth. Give me the courage and the strength to not say those words. Because the flesh is the first thing that pops up when you have a problem and you start going to the negativity. Why is that? Because we live in this world, the flesh is of this world. Who is the ruler of this world? He wants to push you in that direction because he knows verse 21 is true. If he gets you in that direction, then you can't have Isaiah 55, 10, and 11. Years ago, I thought I was a pretty smart person. But it doesn't take somebody real not smart to figure out, not to figure this out. A born-again Christian. And I'm not trying to speak to anybody as if I'm looking down on them. I look down on myself because I look back and I'm thinking, that's all I got to do? That's all I got to do is believe and speak and expect. Boom. It's not magical. It is something the Lord God put in us and give us, especially as anointed, born-again saints and representatives in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, that's just in our personal lives. Number two, what about our spiritual life? What is our spiritual life? We're doing some of our spiritual life right now. And when you go home, we do some of our spiritual life because we speak. We're in a spiritual battle because we do have an adversary because we live in this world and he rules this world. But buddy, what we got to fight him with is a whole lot stronger than anything he's got, because number one, all he's got is a lie. But all he's got to do is get you to believe the lie. The trick to the thing is, if you want to call it a trick, the thing of it is there's a fine line between believing and speaking in faith and believing and speaking out of faith. It's really, really, I mean, you can cross it in your thoughts. I've done it. And since I asked the Lord to take those thoughts out of me, because I realized, you know what happens when you have thoughts? Your thoughts are your mind speaking to you. If you're not careful, the next scripture I'm going to bring up, whatever your mind's thinking speaks to you and you speak it. And then we see this scripture here. Whatever we speak, we can have death or life, blessing or curse. It says in Deuteronomy, God told the children of Israel, I have laid before you blessing and life, death and curse. Choose blessing and life. It's that simple. All right, Travis, you put up Mark 11:23, please. This is another scripture. Praise God for my pastor and my Sunday school teacher. If I've heard Brother Scotty quote this once, I've heard it 1,000 times in 10 years. I know, at least 1,000 times. You'd think somebody that was smart, that would sink in, wouldn't you? Well, I'm just me. But I am what I am through the blessing of the Lord and Jesus Christ. It says, Jesus is talking here. He says, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shalt not doubt in his heart. What is a doubt? A doubt is a thought. In your heart, that's a thought. It's your mind speaking. Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shalt not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that these things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Whoo! Praise God. Now I know, like I said, I'm all excited up here. I know probably every single person here's already got this, but y'all just, you know, celebrate with me. Praise the Lord. Because the last thing that happened was that. And praise God, I cut myself. Y'all didn't see the bad picture. It looks like a little scratch right there. But it's about this long and was about that deep. When it was all said and done, when it opened up, it looked like I had a steak taped to my arm. There was nothing there but red flesh and meat. I cut through every muscle in my arm. Did not hit a single tendon, nor nerve, nor artery. I might have nicked the bone a little bit. The doctor at the emergency room said, you're very lucky. I said, I'm very blessed. And she looked at me kind of funny. She said, okay. 17 stitches later. You know, number one, I was using a piece of equipment that I had taken the safety guard off of. That was real bright, wasn't it? I've done stuff like that all my life. Number two, I was using it in a manner that I didn't see that if something went wrong, it was going to hurt me. Now you say, well, why didn't God show you that? Well, God did. He put the safety guard on the ground and had people put it on there, and I took it off. Well, why didn't he show you he was going to hurt yourself? Well, I don't know exactly, but I'm going to say this because I know all good things come from the Father. He is helping me increase my faith. In what? I was out of work 10 days and our finances can't tell it. That's what. Because used to, that would bother me. It bothered me a little bit, and I cast it down, and I went on. And the thoughts come up, well, you can go to this person, you can go to that person, you can go to the church, and thank God for Brother Scott and Sister Teresa. Because if I had done that during this particular thing, my mountain, I would not be believing my God to provide and cast that mountain into the sea through my faith. I could have done it. I wanted to do it because I didn't see how it was going to work. Even with that accident insurance, because I've dealt with some of that stuff before, and you pay that in every week and they give you a few dollars. Well, it wasn't a great amount, but it covered everything I needed it to cover, and praise God, that's my needs. Well, actually it covered everything I needed to cover and then some. Well, it didn't make me rich, but praise God, I didn't get the accident insurance to make me rich. Whenever I got it, I don't usually get that stuff. It's in my payroll, my benefits. I don't usually get it. Because in my opinion, what if I go 10 years and pay that $8 a week for 10 years and never get hurt? I make somebody some money. But God, in His infinite wisdom, I've been on that job 4.5 years. 4.5 years ago, say, that boy's going to need that. That boy's going to need that. And he said, you know what? He said, I'm going to help him even further. He's going to need the money, and I'm going to work everything to his good because he's called according to my purpose and he loves me, and I'm going to help him with his faith. And I thank God for it. Now, am I glad I got hurt? Well, not really. I mean, it scared the heck out of me. And I looked down and blood was just pouring. I thought I had really done something bad. But, I mean, I just touched that thing like that. Just touched it. No tendons, and there's a lot of them right in there. No nerves. My hands just like it always was. Lost a little blood, probably a little meat. A lot of people, I mean, everybody's saying, what? I sent my boss a picture of it from Merchant's. The first words out of his mouth, what did you do? So I told him. And I called him, of course, and I told him, I said, because after they sewed it up, the doctor told me, you can't do much anything. You don't need to be lifting anything because if you pop that open, you're going to have some major problems. You need to let it heal. And I said, so that means no work? She said, yes, sir. I said, for how long? She said, till at least you get the stitches out. Go to your doctor. Let them, you know, make their decision. Well, I went to them, and sure enough, I said, well, you need, you know, we're going to leave the stitches in X amount of days. The same thing. When I went back, got the stitches out, you need to wait a little while. You know, I need to go to work. I got bills to pay. And that's the thought that started forming. I said, okay. So I went back and I told the Lord again. I said, Lord, I said it the first time. I don't want to go backwards, Lord. I see what is happening, Lord. I don't want to go back to that place because I've been in that place. I've been in the what if, and it's not fun. Because what if don't work with God. When you're left with what if, that means you have to go out and you have to find your own source. And you have to find your own resource. And you have to make things happen for yourself. And that ain't always going to happen. But praise God. Isaiah 55:10-11 said, He said, my word shall go forth. And your word shall go forth and it shall do the thing which I sent it. What does that mean for me? That means I concentrate as I've been taught. On that Proverbs 18:21. Lord, I know you're going to supply all my needs. I depend on you, Lord. I'm not going to go back to that, Lord. I don't want to go back to that, Lord. And I'm going to speak the word of faith into this situation. Now, that's my last problem. I'm going to have some more. Jesus said, the world is going to hate you because it hated me first. That's a very deep statement. He's not talking about just people in the world. He's talking about the principalities and powers and the spiritual wickedness in high places. Is going to hate me because I stand up and say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. God Almighty is my God. He is my source. And I'm going to live my life in the kingdom of the church and God's kingdom here on earth until the day I die and go to be with my God. The world does not like that. They don't want to hear it. It's more evident every day. But praise God. Travis, you put up Matthew 12, 34 through 37, please. Then we'll have to skip a few things. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. He said, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you're evil? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." Remember what I said about thoughts a while ago. Where do they go? To the heart. Your mind is speaking to your heart. That's plain and simple as we are made. It's the way it works. And I'm telling you from experience. When that starts happening, you better get on it and you better get it put down and tell your mind, shut up. God's Word says, Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, Proverbs 18, 21. And Jesus says, the good man from his inner good and treasure brings out good things, and the evil man from his inner evil treasure brings out evil things. But he said, but I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will have to give an account for every careless or useless word they speak. My point is mostly on that first verse. I praise God that He's made this not just a revelation, but a super revelation in my life. Because now, I don't have to limit this to the old worry that used to come for finances. I can use this in every part of my life. It don't matter. Trouble at work. Trouble somewhere. Somebody give me trouble. Devil's trying to put me in a trial. No, I'm going to remember what God did for me. And I'm going to remember how He told me to get through it. Travis, you put up Job 22, 28, please. It says, "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways." The second one is the Amplified. It says, "You will also decide and decree a thing, and it will be established for you, and the light of God's favor will shine upon your ways." That first sentence in Amplified, "You will decide." Decree means you will say, you will speak. It's simple. There's nothing anybody has to have education for. There's nothing that you have to have anything special for. All you have to do, number one, is read God's Word. If you don't know God's Word, number one, you can't have the power that is in it thereof. A born-again Christian that does not read God's Word is like sending a soldier out on the battlefield in his underwear. He's going to get mowed down. Now, granted, you're going to be saved, but you're going to get mowed down all your life in this world by the forces that be of this world. And I thank God that He led me to a place, because all the times that I used to go to church when I was younger, I didn't know about these things. And it wasn't because the people were trying not to tell me that I was learning from, but they were more intent on that time, which at that time, decades ago, people were more intent on getting people in church that I noticed, that I heard. Now, I was young, so, you know, I didn't hear everything because, you know, y'all know me. Y'all can imagine how I was whenever I was young. I'm sure I listened to every single word that came into my ears and said, "Amen, Lord, and yes, ma'am, and yes, sir," to my mother and daddy, and obeyed every single thing. No, I didn't. I obeyed enough of my mother and daddy to keep me from getting in trouble. And it seems in my life I obeyed everything from God enough to keep me from getting in trouble. But as it turned out, I only obeyed enough to keep me from experiencing God's reward in my life and His blessing. Because it says, once you do this, and it will be established for you, and what? The light of God's favor will shine upon your ways. That just simply means when you got it, God's going to give it to you, like He's in revelation and also in favor. So all you folks that already know it, I'm just going to speak again and encourage everybody. Read God's Word, have faith, believe it, speak it in Jesus' name. That's all I got this morning. If anybody's got anything they want to speak.